The stories we're following this morning, the Florida Department of Education says the graduation rate in Florida is at a 14-year high. Florida Republicans are pushing a bill that would deal a blow to state unions. House Bill 25, sponsored by State Rep Scott Plackin, would decertify any union in which 50% of the workers don't pay dues, thus preventing them from being able to collectively bargain. Americans for Prosperity Florida are calling on state legislators to end corporate welfare for sports stadiums. The advocacy group wants legislation that will eliminate taxpayer handouts to build stadiums on public lands and end programs that give professional sports teams subsidies to expand their stadiums here in Florida. DACA, the Dreamers Act, is putting Republicans in a compromising position on dealing with immigrant issues.
FM 101.1 AM 600. Good morning. I'm Ed Dean, along with Roger Henderson. Councilman Matt Schellenberg from the city of Jacksonville is here with us as well. 222-TALK, 222-8255. Still one of the biggest news stories this week is the DACA issue. The partisanship runs amok on both sides. Donald Trump, is he caving in? Some of the Republicans and even the media have kind of saying, yeah.
I think Donald Trump got his Gang of Eight tattoo tonight, and the members only jacket for Rhino Cuck Immigration Squishes, because this is a guy who literally sat there today and shredded the entire Bannon Steve Miller agenda.
So now you got the media calling Donald Trump a rhino in this situation. Here was Ann Coulter pretty much saying they may be correct.
Kevin McCarthy is the hardliner on immigration in the room. I think we can call this the lowest day in the Trump presidency.
Yeah, but what about both sides? Is it really going to go after the Republicans if they cave in on amnesty? But what if they get a border wall, border fence, and do something with the funding sanctuary cities out there? Charlie Hurt from the Washington Times says, yet if the Democrats don't go along with border security, it might hurt them.
On immigration and dealing with DACA. If at the end of the day they refuse to go along with the DACA legalization thing because it contains a wall element or because it contains an end to chain migration, he made it very clear. He's going to campaign against them on those issues, and he feels very confident that he'll win on those issues.
He'll win on those issues. Remember Donald Trump back in the campaign in 2016 saying that he would never give amnesty to those that were here illegally.
No citizenship.
No citizenship. No
citizenship. Everyone agree with that?
All right. I mean, go a step further. They'll pay back taxes. They have to pay taxes. There's no amnesty as such. There's no amnesty.
Matt Schellenberg, listen to this people applaud. No amnesty. They're going to pay back taxes out here. Some people are thinking this is a bad, bad reversal of roles.
You know what's kind of interesting? Because I've come from a big family and big cousins and things like that. And what's amazing to me, though, there are many of them that have married down in outside the United States, and they are the most adamant against people just walking in here and getting citizenship, because they went through the process. You have to go through a process. You've got a list. You have to learn about the Constitution. You have to learn about the history. And they are the ones that are most opposed to just people coming in here and giving citizenship, because they don't know what it is to be an American citizen.
I feel having the Democrats in with us is absolutely vital, because this should be a bipartisan bill. This should be a bill of love. Truly, it should be a bill of love.
How do you make this a bill of love, by the way, when you're talking about border security and border protection out there? How do you make it a bill of love?
Love does not mean capitulation, and love means something
say
more.
Say that in a marriage.
Oh, great. Thanks. Love doesn't mean that there's a certain amount of discipline and that you just can't do everything you want in anything way you can do. It's bizarre to me that we don't follow the rule of law. And if you come in here illegally, there's a certain about responsibilities that we have that we enforce the law, that you're given the discretion. So someone's speeding and the police officer says, oh, that's okay, I still love you, and I'm not going to give you a ticket. Where, in fact, the speeding can cause accidents and death and things like that. You have to have a certain amount of rules and regulations as a civil society.
Yeah, but me and Roger don't get tickets based out of love. It's based out of fear. Correct, Roger?
Yeah, I haven't had a ticket in years, decades.
I had a friend of mine last night tell me he's got stopped twice recently.
Yeah.
And the police, he was real nice, and the police officer said, just slow down. It's pretty dangerous.
As many of you know, the Florida legislature meets or started this past week. They're going to meet all the way through March. And Americans for Prosperity here in Florida, along with maybe a couple other groups, are calling on state legislators to end corporate welfare for sports stadiums here in the state of Florida. Also, that would include here in Jacksonville. The advocacy group wants legislation that would just totally eliminate taxpayer handout to build stadiums and those that give professional sport teams. Why don't we just leave it, instead of having money through pork barrel spending or earmarks, if a local city and local municipality wants to do it, let them knock themselves out and do it.
No, I was just going to say exactly what you said, Ed. That's why you're the host of the show. Why is Tallahassee getting involved in this? If the local legislators do stupid things, vote them out. And that's the problem with Tallahassee right now. They're taking – they think, as I said earlier, they cross the line and they get in Leon County and Tallahassee. They just think they're the smartest people in the world.
No,
and
don't
I'm
get
so
me wrong. I'm not saying it makes it right. I'm just saying that we're going to have more local
well,
control.
Well, no, right. Home rule – I went to a seminar last week, and every one of the reporters were asking about what is the biggest thing that's affecting Tallahassee and local, and it's home rule, and it's a creep mentality. It's like Stubby – is it Stubby, that tree ordinance? He couldn't knock down a tree in
right.
his yard, and now he's introduced legislation to sort of take the tree ordinance out of each
well, listen, Paul Renner, I mean, who is going to be one of the speakers coming up. I saw him on Monday night, and we had this big debate with Sal News. That was one of our sponsors. You met Sal at James Madison. Sal's a great guy. I saw him Monday night in Tallahassee. We had this big debate on Tuesday here on the morning show that, you know, these local municipalities are run by a bunch of libs. And wait a second. Not all the mentalities that have liberal views about tree ordinances and all, a lot of them are registered Republicans running these cities. But they feel, well, in order to shore down that because the citizens are getting walked upon, that Tallahassee has to come over to make it more conservative. And I keep saying, well, wait a second. What happens when the Democrats take over the state capitol and you don't like the way that they're doing it? You're going to want more local control. You've got to engage local voters. If you don't like your local school board, if you don't like your local city council, then you kick them out instead of having Tallahassee come and dictate everything.
Now, how about this? When is the last time you actually saw any of the state people actually have a town hall meeting?
Campaign season?
Yes, maybe. Maybe. But I can tell you that my rep has never had a town hall meeting. I have them three or four times a year, so I can listen to what they have to say. I don't listen to other people that are in the same world, and that's the problem. If you're a conservative, if you just go to conservative functions, all you hear is conservative. You need to be out there, outreach in every community and figure
out. That I agree with you. You know, Roger and I have covered this issue for education for years, and I would just love to set up. Here's the question I want to ask you guys this morning. Why not just give all the local school boards you guys raise your own taxes. You don't have to pay anything to Tallahassee. All the rules, regulations, charter schools, whether you want to approve them or not, you can do it locally here. Because what happens that we have covered it, Roger and I, on this show is, and this has been going on for 25, 30 years since the Republicans took control. They talk about local control and they don't give local control. And then what happens is you're giving local legislators the open opportunity that if something goes south with funding or education, they blame it on Tallahassee.
Mm-hmm.
And I think many of the listeners are just sick of all of this type of stuff. So why not just give them everything they want? If they fail, sorry, you guys lost it on your own, not blame it on somebody else.
I agree with you, and that's basically what I said. If state has money to give to local communities, just give it to us as a block grant and let us spend it the way we want to do it.
Why not do it? And if you don't like the way Jacksonville is spending the money on stadiums, then fine. You vote the individual out. You go to a town hall meeting saying, no more money funding whoever.
Well, the problem is that they think everybody's the same, and we're all communities are not the same. And inside Duval County, I'm pretty sure the district I represent is not the same kind of representation that they get in Arlington on the north side or maybe from the west side.
You mean they get better representation over there? 222-TALK-222.
Wow, that really hurt. That's an arrow in the back, Roger, and I come here almost every week.
No, you host for – no, come on, that's
Matt
fine.
Matt really hurt, Ed.
I'm crying.
Matt, you're like me. Bullets to Superman. They just bounce off, okay? 222-TALK, 222-8255. Let's go to some quick calls. Rice, good morning. You're on WBOB.
It's real quick on the issue of home rule before I make my union. When your local government is oppressing your civil rights and making you pay money to rich people, you know, taxpayer dollars to rich people, and you're not getting directly entertainment from it or a service or a product from it, That's tyranny. So you have to go to your Tallahassee. You have to then, or if you get messed up by Tallahassee, you have to go to D.C. So there is sometimes
what is the one issue that you're saying that the local people don't take money and give it to the rich? Tell me one instance that
stealing
applies.
Money, stealing tax. Okay, calm down. Stealing money from people using their tax dollars and give it to rich private capitalists is wrong.
Give me an example.
I just did. You are for giving Ashad Khan bin Laden taxpayer dollars. Now, please let me comment before you cut me off, because since I criticized the ruler of Jacksonville, the Muslim ruler of Jacksonville, let me comment on the best thing we can do for the American worker is end all immigration. We did not have immigration from the 20s to the 60s, legal immigration. So that's the best thing we can do is stop all immigration. That would help the American worker. Am I still in line? Or
yeah.
Okay, thank you for taking my comments. God bless you all.
All right,
God bless
I appreciate
America.
It. All right,
the Muslim ruler of Jacksonville. Sometimes you just give people a little bit more rope out there. But let's see, to his point, his argument, that let's say that Jacksonville, the city, gives tax incentives to Shad Khan and the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Well, tell me the incentive that we took taxpayers' money to give to him.
Do you give him incentives?
We have the bed tax that is designated about 25 years ago. It can only go to the entertainment properties that we own, veterans, the baseball stadium.
Any taxpayer dollars go to fund the Jacksonville Jaguars in incentives, whatever.
I'd have to look, but that's why I was asking for the example.
I'm asking right now. Here's the thing with this. It's not like tax incentives is an interesting argument. What we see here in the state of Florida, there's actually direct taxpayer dollars that go to NASCAR and Sun Life Stadium, and that's to me where I really have an outrage about that. You want tax incentives, then fine. Negotiate. But why should somebody from Jacksonville pay for Sun Life Stadium down in Miami
right.
and vice versa?
Right.
That's my big point. All right.
Home rule.
222-8255 You gonna hang out? Or you gotta get going.
I gotta get going. Right. I love coming here. It's early in the morning, and I'm not as sharp, so I'm gonna have to regroup.
Was that a Gap Band? Little early in the morning. All right,
It is early. I mean, I do get up early, but you have to. Your brain has to start.
I'm up at 4 o'clock in the morning every morning. Let me tell you something. When I wake up at 4:03, the brain is ready.
I want to know if we can talk about this project that's going on on South Side on the generating.
Yeah, we'll
plant,
do it. We'll talk
and
about it.
Talk about that as well as.
And I appreciate you coming and hosting the show while I was gone.
No, really, Roger did, and I was just his backup.
No, great.
I was the Ed McMahon of the show.
Couldn't have done it without you. Then.
And, of course, how many people out there know who Ed McMahon was? Not their neighbor.
Can you do me a favor? When I'm on the air, can you play like the studio audience member and just applaud? Okay, I'm kidding with you. I love you. Councilman Matt Schellenberg here from the city of Jacksonville. Hey, all kidding. Happy New Year. It's good to see you.
Great to see you.
More as we continue to move along. 222-TALK, 222-8255, FM 101.1, AM 600, Talk Radio. WBOB.
On I-10 going toward downtown, lots of backup accumulating. There's a crash right at around Roosevelt.
Mike Gallagher next at 9. Dennis Prager at noon on Talk Radio, AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
Be careful on the roads. Lots of dense fog in the area and dense fog advisory in effect till 10. Then it will be consistent but light rain throughout the day with a high of 75. Clearing tonight, overnight the low will be about 61 right now, 63 at WBOB. And here are the stories we're following this morning. The Florida Department of Education says the graduation rate in Florida is at a 14-year high. Florida Republicans are pushing a bill that could deal a blow to state unions. House Bill 25, sponsored by State Rep Scott Plotkin, would decertify any union in which 50% of the workers don't pay dues, thus preventing them from being able to collectively bargain. Americans for Prosperity Florida are calling on state legislators to end corporate welfare for sports stadiums. The advocacy group wants legislation that would eliminate taxpayer handouts to build stadiums on public lands and end a program that gives professional sports teams subsidies to expand their stadiums here in Florida. DACA, the Dreamers Act, is putting Republicans in a compromising position on dealing with immigrant issues.
Coming up in just a few moments with the ripoff of the week, our good friend Adam Andzejewski from OpenTheBooks.com, brought to you by Underwood Jewelers. 222-TALK. 222-8255 here on our newsmaker line. He is the co-founder of the Florida Coalition of School Board Members, our buddy Sean Frost. I find this issue very fascinating about unions and teachers' unions. As Roger just reported, there's a story out there where that, again, if less than 50% of your workforce is involved in your local union, we're going to decertify you, decertification, which means that they don't pay dues, they're not going to be able to have collective bargaining. Let's talk about this with the teachers' unions out there. They're all up in arms. They claim that this is the end of education as we know. It's another scare tactic out there. In real terms, what does this mean? Explain this bill and this measure, what it is, Sean.
Sure. Really, what it is, in a sentence, is it's an end to the tyranny by the minority. And that's where you have these teachers' unions that don't even represent the majority representing the majority. You know, that their membership doesn't represent the majority, basically bargaining on behalf of them for salaries and working conditions and things like that. So what this bill does is it would decertify those unions that are less than 50% of the total employee membership, and then require that they go before the PERC, the Public Employees Relations Commission, for recertification.
Now, this is a state requirement that in order to, I guess, be known as a union, you got to have, what, more than 50% with dues contributing?
My understanding is that's how unions are established, or were established when they were first set up, but not every union has met that threshold.
Are you still there?
So, this law, yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, you're breaking in and out, man.
Oh, okay. Well, what this would do is it would allow those unions who are not at 50%, they would have to go through the process of certification.
Why has this been such a problem to get passed? I mean, we keep hearing from a lot of the Republicans out there, all the unions, I mean, their time has come and gone, and there's not as many of them as they used to be years ago, but yet anything that they want to do to promote more of a free market of education and trying to get less of the union involvement, they can't seem to get anything passed. What's going on?
Well, Ed, last year this bill ran, and it did really well in the House, and the Senate has kind of been the holdup. But this year it actually has traction in the Senate. Senator Greg Stube is running the companion bill, 1036, and we expect good things. We hear good things. And, you know, it's quite a difference a year can make in the lineup and the composition of the Florida Senate. And we feel as though this is a much better year for the probability of this bill passing.
So
it's good legislation.
So when you tell a parent out there or a taxpayer about this, then how do you sit back and say, well, this is the reason why we need to certify these unions? How do you do it in the promotes when you want to talk about somebody's education or even something when it comes to the taxpayer's back pocket?
Sure. Here's why it matters, Ed. The academics, actually the history and the evidence shows that teacher quality is extremely important. And in a study from, it was out of Princeton. It was a study in Wisconsin when they enacted similar legislation. They found that a 34% increase in the quality of teachers moving to basically writing an individual contract for those unions. So teacher quality improved where there was competition.
All right. Okay. Let me get to the crutch here. I mean, if you decertify unions, how is that going to improve graduation scores? How is that going to improve a curriculum? How is that going to improve disciplinary actions in a classroom?
Well, it's not going to improve disciplinary actions in a classroom. That's more of an administrative
function. All right.
Also, you know,
graduation rates. How's it going to address that?
Graduation rates, it's not going to address that,
okay,
that much. But what other than the, you know, you're looking at the end result, and that's important, right? We should be moving towards the end result. But what's important to understand is that teacher quality is of the utmost importance. And in decertifying these teachers' unions that don't represent the best, Jack Welch, who is the CEO of GE and someone I look to, says that a good organization leads to a weaker union. So by having a high-quality organization, you know, you shouldn't have union strength.
Okay, in fact, I'm looking for a silver bullet here of why we need to decertify teachers' unions here in Florida.
Well, let me put it this way, Ed. You know a tree by its fruits, right? That's in a famous book somewhere. In St. John's County, which is often held up as the best county in Florida, it has one of the weakest unions, and their union actually would be affected by this legislation. So good districts don't require teachers union.
That's what I wanted you to get at. It only took about 5 minutes, but you did get to it, my friend. The point that when you look at the Florida Department of Education's numbers, that the classrooms, and you can call them rural, I'm from Florida, redneck counties, whatever you want to call them, that get less teacher, and I'd love to see more teachers making more money, but you get less teacher involvement, sure, less money per student, and less union involvement actually do much better and overall than all of these South Florida districts that get more of the union involvement as well. That is never discussed.
Well, that's a great point that you bring up, Ed, and I appreciate you highlighting that. Think about it this way. If you wanted to recruit Michael Jordan in his heyday, you'd be ready to pay Michael Jordan fees if you need a Michael Jordan. Now, that's not allowed under the current system and collective bargaining union. You can't draft your best players, your high scoring teachers, and that makes it difficult. So what this would do is it would unrestrict those restrictions that are on districts now and allow high performing teachers and to put your best where they need to be.
All right, I don't have a problem with any of that. Sean Frost with the Florida Coalition of School Board Members. It was good to talk to you this morning.
Always good, my friend.
All right, good to talk to you. Was I able to get it out? I'm looking for sound bites to direct. I mean, I love Sean, and I understand where he's coming from. Come on. I don't want the appetizer. I'm ready to jump in and have the meat, man. We got time to take calls. 222-TALK, 222-8255. This is the certification of unions. This is what I'm asking. If you're going to go after the unions, I want to know what the benefit is. Just tell me what the benefit is. I understand what I believe the benefit is. I want to know what you think out there. The benefit of decertifying teachers union, fire and police, do we need them? I know it, but I want to know what you think. And that's what I'm just trying to get out. 222-TALK, 222-8255. This is Talk Radio, WBOB.
On 95 South Fuller Warren Bridge, we're starting to see a lot of cars there.
The Ed Dean Radio Show on Talk Radio, AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
Dense fog advisory till 10, then light but consistent rain all day, high 75. Right now it's 63 at WBOB.
All right, 222-TALK, 222-8255. Email address, we'll get to all those in a few moments, Ed, at WBOB.com. This is Talk Radio, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Trump asked whether he'd be willing to talk with Robert Mueller's Russia investigators. Says, we'll see. But the president also says that given the fact there was no collusion, it's unlikely an interview would even be requested. Immigration agents walked into 7-Eleven stores across the country the other day. They're targeting employers suspected of hiring illegal immigrants. 21 people were arrested, about 100 stores across the country involved, and it's not the first time for this kind of operation. There were employment audits during the Obama and George W. Bush administrations as well. Search and rescue crews continue searching for 17 people still missing in the wake of destructive flash flooding and mudslides in Southern California. Dow futures up 37 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Good morning. As we check our roads for you today, we are seeing a lot of congestion. If you're on 295 South just before Monument Road, a broken down car there and also an accident. This is at State Road 9B and 95 as you head north into Jacksonville. We're looking at a lot of fog this morning and a high of 75 with consistent rain throughout the day, clearing tonight with a low of 61, and currently it's 62 here at WBOB. Here are the stories we're following this morning. The Florida Department of Education says the graduation rate in Florida is at a 14-year high. Florida Republicans are pushing a bill that would deal a blow to state unions. House Bill 25, sponsored by State Rep Scott Platkin, would decertify any union in which 50% of the workers don't pay dues, thus preventing them from being able to collectively bargain. Americans for Prosperity Florida are calling on state senators to end corporate welfare for sports stadiums. The advocacy group wants legislation that would eliminate taxpayer handouts to build stadiums on public lands and end programs that give professional sports teams subsidies to expand their stadiums here in Florida. And DACA, the Dreamers Act, is putting Republicans in a compromising position on dealing with immigrant issues.
FM 101.1 AM 600. Good morning, Ed Dean. Coming up in a few moments, Adam Andrzejewski with the group OpenTheBooks.com. We call it the ripoff of the week. Roger Henderson also hanging out with us. A lot of news to get to. One of the other big news, the Florida Department of Education says the graduation rate is at a 14-year high. I wonder if that means that Governor Rick Scott's going to advocate, I mean, he already is, that, hey, spending more money is the right answer. By the way, not every municipality, we're going to talk about this if not tomorrow on Monday, St. John's County and a few other counties did not see their graduation rates go up. In fact, they went down. Clay and I think Duval and maybe Baker counties that actually had graduation rates increase. So we'll get into that later on. The Republicans is another big issue we've been talking about this morning. The Republicans want to, sponsored by Scott Plankin, House Bill 25 that would decertify. Now, follow me on this one. Any union that does not have 50% of their workers paying dues, they want to decertify these unions. Now, this is politically motivated. I get it. Don't really have a problem with it. I will admit it. But having said that, is it, I mean, are unions, this kind of brings up an interesting issue because, well, Ed, why are they, I mean, if less than, and even some of the police, the PDAs in some of these municipalities have less than 50% of its members paying in union dues. Well, what's the point of decertifying them? It's kind of like a state law when it comes in the financial world. If you want to have a certain, you got to have a certain amount of employees when it comes to, for example, to be mandated through Obamacare to pay for a lot of that. You got to have a certain amount of employees by state law to require for certain things for business credits, or you got to hire people or grants here locally. So it's part of a state law. So the question is why do they need recertification if they can't co-op or they can't keep up with what the current law is about? Some of you have been emailing me. Gary sits back and says the bill specifically exempts police, fire, and corrections from the majority of the membership requirements. The Republicans are going after traditionally Democrat-dominated unions. I agree with that. But the question is, are the unions – I mean, if you wanted to concede that maybe back in – the 1920s, at its time, was needed for workplace requirements and things like that. Have the unions now their time here? Is it come and gone? Do you need, if we're going to keep unions, do you need them with teachers' unions? Because we don't want them fairly mistreated. What about fire and police? Do we still need unions with fire and police? Or do we just need to sit back and say, no, we don't need any more unions whatsoever? And what is the benefit? If you got rid and decertified teachers' union, does it benefit the graduation rates? Does it benefit children? If so, where does it benefit children? Or does it benefit the taxpayers' back pocket? Does it benefit overall everybody? That's why I'm a little bit harsh this morning on this issue. I don't want sound bites. I mean, I just give me an example of decertifying these unions with, or just we don't need unions anymore. I mean, in order to ensure fire and public safety here in the city of Jacksonville, throughout the rest of the state, in order to ensure that, well, we got to become unions. You know, I mean, can Superman be Superman as Clark Kent, or can Superman be Superman without the cape? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And here's another issue. I think that a lot of
comic analysis.
Yeah, I know a lot of people aren't really considering too. I think that a lot of the free market, that sounds really good on paper, and a lot of people who've grown up, they think that they were lied to when they were kids. They were told that if you do hard, do well in school, do your homework, study hard, and then when you get in the career field, work as hard as you can, help to make your employer the most successful he can be. And you'll be successful because your employer will recognize that and reward you commensurate with your hard work. And what he was never told was the impact of politics in corporate America, office politics.
Well, this is political politics, not to sound redundant there. So that's one of the big ones. 222-8255. Let's go to the phones. Jeff, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Hey, how you doing?
Good morning.
I'm doing pretty good. You're being harsh. No, but what I was going to say, the only problem I've ever had with unions, and the job I work at, I'm non-union. I've known people that are union, people that aren't. Some of my wife's relatives are from Illinois, so they're in unions and stuff. But the only thing I don't like about it is the groupthink mentality, where, you know, your job is negotiated. So you know what your set goals are. You check the boxes, you get paid, you go home. which is the aspect most people in the rank and file of it like. But the problem is, like Roger was saying, when you do go above and beyond, even if somebody notices you, it really doesn't matter because you're just, you know, hey, your contract says you does this, you check the boxes, you may not go anywhere past that. You know what I mean?
Jeff, let me ask you this. Let me play devil's advocate. If you're a union, you get a defined benefit. You get a guaranteed pension. So there's, and I understand where you're coming from, but let me play the devil's advocate. I should be based more. Maybe, I mean, someone might be making a little bit more amount of money than I am, or everybody makes the same. But, Jeff, I'm guaranteed a retirement, so I'll keep my mouth shut.
Yeah, and that's pretty much the way that it works. Once people are in it, they stay in it because of the benefits. But because of that, it's more like they're working for the union than they are for their employer. So they have almost no employer loyalty and don't really look at their job the same way somebody that's not in a union does.
That's a great
point. There's no ownership in it. Do you know what I mean? They don't have as much ownership.
I love Jeff, you're talking my language. I always say in life you need to be an owner, not a loner. You know what? So anyway, I appreciate the call. 222-TALK, 222-8255. There you go, Roger. People are going, they don't agree with me. They're always agreeing with you. What's up with that? So I don't mind sounding a little bit harsh. I just want to know.
It's flattering.
There's an economic impact by decertifying the unions out there. Mm-hmm. And there's a political, like, you know, whether or not they should be endorsing candidates. And you get, as you pointed out, there's a lot of people that pay in the union dues that are like, I don't want my money. Union dues are for my health care and scabs, not on your arm. I'm talking, replacement workers. Okay, that's a valuable argument, but I'm not here to give politicians money that I may totally disagree with.
Exactly. And what if one of the union members who's paying their dues came here legally, but that union then contributes to a political campaign? Now you have non-citizens financing the campaigns of our elected officials, which is probably illegal, should be at least.
Tom, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Yes, I wanted to weigh in on this union issue.
Yes, sir.
I think one of the misunderstandings is that unionizing is about money. It is partly about, you know, negotiating for wages and benefits and so forth. But my wife is a teacher, and for her and most of the teachers she works with, it's more about working conditions. I'll just give you one example. One thing that's becoming a bigger issue in recent years is violence with students. Students physically threatening and then following through and attacking teachers. And there's sort of this idea that, well, you know, the kid had a bad day and he should be given another chance and another chance and another chance. And you get to the point where, you know, as a teacher, you need to have safe working conditions. Now, it's not the same as the factory floor in 1920 where people were getting their arms cut off by unsafe machines and so forth, but it is similar. And these are the kinds of things that unions do. They sit down with the school district and say, we will sue you. You will not, you know, allow our teachers to be in these unsafe conditions. So unionizing does allow them to protect the teachers, and I think that's probably the same with police and fire.
Whoa, hold,
well.
Tom, hold on. I'm losing you. How does the unions protect the teachers? Now, is that because the teachers may respond in a harsh way or something? I'm looking for where the unions are being protected when it comes to disciplinary actions.
Right. So what happens is the union gets involved in that situation and says, if you do not change the structure here, put in more security, have more discipline for the students, then we will now, as a union, we will strike. We will make this part of our demand. Demands are less about pay these days and more about working conditions for teachers. And this is, you know, classroom sizes, the amount of hours teachers have to stay after work and the amount of work they have to do at home outside of the workplace. These are the things that they're negotiating for more than money.
Well, Tom, I see where you're coming from, and evidently the unions don't seem to be doing a good job because, I mean, we've gotten major complaints, especially in Duval County, about disciplinary actions that's taken place. So evidently somebody's dropping the ball here.
Yeah, you're 100% right. They could do a lot better, but Katie bar the door if there were no unions. I mean, if there were no unions, it would be far worse than it is. It's sort of
interesting.
The last line of defense for teachers is that union. They can go to their union rep and say, look, now I've been threatened by three kids this week and something's got to be done. These kids have to be moved to alternative school or they've got to be moved to a you know, in-school suspension, other kinds of things that can be done with students that are threatening them, whereas the administrators tend to be more about making the parents happy. Like, you know what, we'll give your kid a ninth chance.
Right. I got to get running, brother. I got to get running, man. I got a lot of other people, but I appreciate the call out there. You know, when it I understand about the unions, but the overall area about this, if you want to do more with the disciplinary actions in our schools, you don't need more union involvement. You don't even need resource officers. You want to take you know what we need in schools today for security?
Metal detectors?
Bouncers. That's what we need.
They have police resource officers in every public school.
Yeah, I mean, you got all this stuff. Nothing's going around taking care of things. 222-TALK, 222-8255. Let's take a couple quick more phone calls, all right? I know we got other stuff, but let me fly through these things. Let's go to David. David, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Yeah, just quick comment about the unions and the teachers. Yeah, the unions protect teachers a little bit, but when push comes to shove, it's still a right-to-work state. And the unions now, like new teachers, we don't get tenures anymore. I missed the cutoff. So if push comes to shove, if they don't like you, they're going to get rid of you regardless. The unions might try to help you. And, you know, I heard the best thing about the unions is the lawyers are cheap.
The lawyers are cheap. Ha! Interesting. It depends. Well, why would you need a lawyer? The union. Well, the union lawyers. I get where you're coming with that one. 222-TALK. 222-8255 over here. Email address ed@wbob.com. ed@wbob.com.
A lot of congestion this morning on I-10 heading into Jacksonville. Plan on some slowdowns. Lots of fog could slow you down.
The Ed Dean Radio Show on Talk Radio, AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
We are under a dense fog advisory. Could slow you down as you head out to work today, then light rain all throughout the day with a high of 75. Clearing tonight, the low of 61. Currently, it's 62 here at WBOB. And here are the stories we're following this morning. The Florida Department of Education says the graduation rate in Florida is at a 14-year high. Florida Republicans are pushing a bill that could deal a blow to state unions. House Bill 25, sponsored by State Rep Scott Platkin, would decertify any union in which 50% of the workers don't pay dues, thus preventing them from being able to collectively bargain. Americans for Prosperity Florida are calling for state legislators to end corporate welfare for sports stadiums. The advocacy group wants legislation that will eliminate taxpayer handouts to build stadiums on public lands and end a program that gives professional sports teams subsidies to expand their stadiums here in Florida. DACA, the Dreamers Act, is putting Republicans in a compromising position on dealing with immigrant issues.
222-TALK, 222-8255. So I'm going to have Adam come on at the top of the hour. Adam Andrzejewski with the rip-off of the week, because I got a lot of calls on this. And top of the hour, and he likes it. I'll give him more time. So we'll have him come on here in a few moments, brought to you by Underwood Jewelers. So the question we're asking this morning, there's a big news story coming out that's been it's not going to make the ballot box, but I think some people may vote in nay, fay, or nay, or no, yay, or whatever on this issue, because it's been supported by even some local municipalities about unions out there. But here in the state of Florida, State Representative Scott Plankin says, hey, if you got less than 50% of workers paying dues, we're going to decertify you. Unions are all up in arms claiming this is going to end public education. This is going to hurt fire and safety. I want to know what you think about this issue. Do we need to have unions with our schools, and do we need to have unions with our fire, safety, police? I want to know what you think. 222-TALK, 222-8255. D, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Good morning. As far as unions are concerned, as far as their 50% or less decertifying, I don't think that should happen. However, people who do join them need to look at where the money that they're paying into the unions is going to help with certain causes,
right,
certain liberal ideologies, and then they need to weigh out for themselves, hey, do I want my dues going to support this type of action? I mean, just look what the NFL unions helped support when the guys took knees on the field. That went against the American people. Not necessarily, you know, some people say, oh, you know, it's the rights and everything. But also, they support a lot of leftist causes. You know.
And by the way, if you're also a liberal Democrat, And you don't like the way your union's spending money on Republicans out there. You could also be arguing. I mean, I wish PhD brings up a very valid point, Roger. I wish more people would watch where their money is going. I wish some of you would watch where your trim notice is when you pay your property taxes. Would you be surprised how many government activities that you have to pay your taxes in?
A lot of them. If you add them all
up. Mosquito control, St. John's River water management. It's an absolute complete joke out there. D brings up a valid point. I mean, it goes more than beyond. Some of the unions do support Republicans as well. So it goes, but it's more liberal causes. She's correct on that. 222-TALK, 222-8255. Let's go to Greg. Greg, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Good morning, Ed. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
I'd like to comment on the unions as far as what they do that's good. You know, we have thousands of young men and women across this country who do not want to go to college, that want to become a tradesman. Yeah. You go into a union, you spend 4 years being trained at your profession and what you do. A lot of the dues that these union members pay go back into the schools to support the schooling of these people and training them in their craft. I myself would really like to have my houses built by union professional people who are trained. So I support that because I think it's a needed necessity for people who are not of the caliber to go to college, but yet still have a chance to really earn a great living through a trade and 4 years of training.
So you say when it comes to the trade schools, that's where the unions do a pretty good bang-up job, correct?
I think they do a great job training these people. They have to spend 4 years in an apprenticeship program to go ahead and use their craft and their trade for the rest of their life.
Well, you know, that's a pretty interesting point. And I'm not disagreeing with you, but it's always the only thing that we always hear about unions, collective bargaining, they want to strike, they, you know, not get enough in health care, they always support, you know, liberal causes out there. But unfortunately, that's all we ever read about, Greg.
Right. And we don't read about some of the good things that they do, you know. And I look at it like I want somebody that's going to work on my house, my building, whatever I'm doing, who's professionally trained in their craft. I don't like to use the word scabs. That's not me.
Right.
But again, I don't know if this gentleman who has not been trained is doing the proper job, because I'm not an expert in the field.
I was just going to say, I want to fly through these calls. Thank you for the call. 222-TALK, 222-8255. You bring up a valid point. He just brought up the caller about, okay, this is the goodness of what the unions can do. Then fine. Why don't we keep, if that's what the goodness of what the unions can do, then why do they need to expound bigger and all the political realm then?
Yeah, you have a point. Yeah, when it comes to the political advocacy and that sort of thing, especially, you know, does every union member support every candidate that the union does?
When you guys go to a gym and you have a fitness trainer, I don't want to hear his politics. Just talk to me what nutrition I need to take, all right? That's all I'm saying. Okay? It's kind of like the union people, you kind of think. I mean, okay, you want to help me training and things of that nature and get a job. I don't care about the political stuff out there. 222-TALK, 222-8255. Let's go to Brian. Brian, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Hey, good morning. I was a teacher for a few years, never union, and my wife was a teacher for 8 years, never union. But then she had a tyrannical administrator. And earlier in the show, you said kind of callously, like, go find another job. That's easier said than done when management has such control over you, especially like in a public school teaching situation. So I look at unions and I wish Republicans would quit, you know, surmising it as unions and really talk about the specifics of the unions they don't like, because unions ultimately are a necessary evil in a lot of cases. And that might be oversimplistic, but, you know, we all hate trial attorneys until we need one.
Right.
And unless you've worked in a public school setting where somebody can permanently, mark your whatever evaluation that's going to haunt you, or take you out of a position that you've worked hard and do well at just for her own ignorant fiat, you know, until you've worked in that, you really don't understand that the union is all you have. And if this bill goes through, who's best to represent the teachers in large? If the union doesn't have 50%, they're still going to have the biggest membership of the teachers. So who's going to speak on their behalf at bargaining if it's not the union?
I would agree with you on the trial lawyers. You're totally right on that. And I think that you make a valid point. I think sometimes it comes across is that we're beating too much on the teachers when instead, as you say, that we should focus more on the unions. But if it's a necessary evil out there, then let me get more of the good parts of the unions and let me get all the evil stuff continuing out instead of just accepting it.
Correct. No, and that's where you and I agree. And trust me, I'm by and large, I'd always say I've normally, especially on these national large unions that are overrun with politics, I'd throw them out with the bathwater. But if we attack the specifics and really try to empower those who feel the need to be union as to the dirtiness that they do, they take their dues, they pay political causes, do all that, I think that's where we need to do instead of just, being quote-unquote anti-union.
I think Brian brings up a valid point. 222-TALK, 222-8255. Focus more on the good parts, but then again, not as accepting everything as a necessary evil or necessity. If that's the case, then you go in there and, okay, I need to make this a little bit better. And he's right. I think that even among the Republicans, stop beating up all the lawyers. All right? When you got a pro-life or school choice for conservatism or a pro-gun bill, you need a trial lawyer. And instead, when it comes to the unions, go after the unions, but focus more on the teachers in itself and what needs to be done. I think that's a very valid point. 222-TALK, 222-8255. This is Talk Radio, WBOB.
On the Buckman Bridge, we are looking at an accident headed in the direction of Orange. It's fog today. We'll have a high of 75, light rain continuing, and tonight clearing, low 61, 63 right now at WBOB.
222-TALK, 222-8255. Your call's coming up next, hour number 3 on WBOB.